Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayishlach. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels discusses Vayishlach. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels is a member of the Pardes faculty. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels.
Thank you, Larry.
Today, for Parshat Vayishlach, we're going to explore together a drasha of the Pizetzner Rebbe, Rabbi Kolonimus Kalman Shapira of Pizetzner, the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto, from his work Derech HaMelech, which is a series of pre-war drashot. The Rebbe begins by opening with the lines from the Parsha, Vayishlach Yaakov Melachim Lefanav Ele Savechav, and Jacob sent forth messengers before him to Esav, to Esau his brother. Discussing the dramatic meaning of meeting of Jacob and Esau, and Jacob's concern about surviving this meeting. But then in a typical Hasidic style, he turns to another subject, a subject he'll bring back around at the end of the drasha. And he tells us the following. He starts by talking about the nature of desire, and the way in which desire can be dangerous, the way we can become lost in desire, indeed totally overcome by and caught up in desire, and pointed in the wrong direction. And he says when discussing desire, Misha yesh la ratzon v'tachlik chazak, asher makif umelay et kol chayav, ashar ratzonot hem etzlo rak achitzonim. But then he says it's interesting. One who has a desire and a purpose which surrounds and fills him and fills his entire life, then the rest of his desires simply are external to him. They are somehow subordinate to this primary desire. She'enam tzodim et nafsho, ve'enam yicholim la'nia oto midarcho v'tachlito. They are not able to entrap his soul, and they are not able to move him from his path and from his purpose. But he says, one who doesn't have this kind of passion, one who instead is not sunk within some kind of deep desire, and he does not have a purpose for his life, then all his various desires, the insignificant and lowly desires, the troubling desires that happen, they simply pull him hither and thither. They pull him here and there. And he is given over into the hands of his desires, as it says in the verse. He is given over into this passion, into this desirousness, as he understands the verse. And so he continues, L'chen, mi sheyesh l'ratzon tshuka v'tachlit l'Hashem, az afim rotze lefamim eze devar midivrei olam rak rotzehu. And it says, therefore, one who has this kind of deep desire, this tshuka, right, this true desire and purpose for God, his purpose is to be close to the divine, to be in the presence of God, then even if he sometimes experiences some desire for something from the world, some kind of physical pleasure, money, power, etc., he simply wants it. It's true he has the desire. It's not that he doesn't have the desire. He has the desire. But he is not given over to that desire. He is not given into the hands of that wanting. Ma she'ein ken mi she'ein lo tshuka derech v'tachlit b'chol chayav l'Hashem, which is not the case with one who has no desire like this, which doesn't have a path and a purpose of all his life to reach God. He is not focused ultimately on the divine. Az kol tzla'a ktana v'ratzon bazui tzuda et kol nafsho v'nimsar kulo aleha ad shekasheh lo likaber v'latzeit mimena. Then every small exhaustion or every shameful desire captures him and captures his entire soul, and he's completely given over to it until to such an extent that it's difficult for him to overcome it at all and to escape from it. Kilomar, that is to say, ahitkabrut al tavot, tului echitkareva ish alehem, v'nichnas pamitchila. That is, whether one can overcome some desire that one doesn't want to fulfill depends on one's initial approach to that desire. How did you enter that desire in the first place? If at the beginning it was simply some desire, then he can overcome it if it's just a passing desire. But if he's in this aspect of being totally given over to desire, for instance, in food, then it's difficult for him afterwards to overcome it. And we no doubt we've all experienced this, let's say, in food. We're trying to have some kind of diet, a particular kind of eating habit, and yet we're unable to control ourselves. It happens. And this actually depends, he claims here, on whether there is some overriding deeper passion, deeper desire. Because if he has this overriding deeper desire and passion, then actually it prevents him from falling into the hands of all these smaller desires that arise in his life. That is, the Bizetzner claims here, not that, as sometimes thought to be the case, that there is a problem with desire itself. Desire is not a problem. It's not a problem wanting things. The problem is understanding, first of all, what are our genuine desires? What are our deepest desires? What do we really want in life? And second of all, from that place, understanding how to relate to the other desires which arise, which they naturally do. That's part of being human. Desires arise all the time. If we have no sense of any underlying desire, if we have no sense of any deep purpose in our life, of where we want to be, of the kind of person we want to be, of how we want to be close to God, of how we want our life to look like, then we are simply at the whim of every passing fancy. And every desire pulls us from here to there, and we get lost all the time along the way, and our life feels chaotic and out of control. But instead, he says, if we can cultivate and indeed recognize the already presence of in ourselves of this underlying deep desire, this desire for wholeness, the desire to be close to God, the desire for fulfillment, then from that place of this deep desire, we have a kind of mountain to stand on from which we can observe our other desires as they arise and no longer be lost in them, but from this place of deeper desire, be able to understand and decide whether these smaller desires are going to help or hurt that deeper purpose, that deeper tachlit. And he continues to tell us, this is the difference between what we call ratzon, a desire, a want, and chukka or tava, other names for desire. Right? We might call it between, let's say, a desire and a passion. Just a desire, it doesn't take the whole person's self, the experience of desire. It doesn't overcome you completely. But passion, chukka, it takes and enclothes his soul. It totally consumes you. We've all experienced these two different kinds of desire. So he continues now to speak about actually the different desires of God. L'chein ha-ratzon Hashem de-briyat ha-olam ratzon ne'mar. Ala b'ratzono pashut k'vechadomeh. V'lo she'ishtokek. And therefore, concerning the desire of God in the creation of the world, it just mentions desire, ratzon. That it arose in his simple thought and similar such statements. It doesn't use this language of passion, of chukka, which he explains has to do with the fact that Hashem is the creator of the world and certainly desires it, but is also separate from the world, is also mekif ha'olam, also surrounds the world. In that sense, is not totally enclosed with and taken over by the world. Rather, there's some distance between him and the world, at least according to this understanding. But, he says, b'tfilat ha-tzadikim ne'emar she'kadosh baruch hu mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel ha-tzadikim. But it's interesting. When speaking of the prayers of the tzadikim, God is passionate for them. He has the ta'ava or the tshuka for the prayers of the tzadikim. B'zeh kfar ne'emar ta'ava. And in this case, they say the word ta'ava. They say this word for what we're calling passion here rather than just desire. And this is so because even when the tzaddikim and the righteous are praying for the needs of the world, for their needs, the needs of others, the purpose of the prayer actually is for the needs of heaven. It's some sort of broader cosmic healing, and not just the needs of this world, not the particular matters of this world this time. And therefore, their prayer ascends to this level of even the God who is beyond the world. And therefore, it has the aspect of chukka and tava, this aspect of passion. It's fascinating, this distinction here in God's desire. First, we talked about human desire and the way we can be sort of swept up in and overcome by a desire, which we call a passion, a tshuka or a tava. Or we can simply have a desire, a want, which arises in us. And if we are focused enough or stable enough or connected enough to some other more primary passion, we can overcome them. And here the distinction is made between the way God has desire, between the divine desires. On the one hand, there's the desire and wanting of the world, God's wanting to create the world, God's relationship of love and care and concern for the world. But interestingly enough, God actually loses God's self, not in the creation of the world, but in the prayers of the tzaddikim. It seems that in some sense here, God's deepest desire, the desire which actually enclothes and entraps God in the best possible way, is the desire to be close to us, to interact with human beings, to have that relationship of love and communication. The creation of the world is a beautiful thing, but its end here is this process of communication and love which happens between the divine and human beings. And so the Pizetzner continues with his discussion and says, V'nachzor la'hanizkar l'mala, and let's return to what we discussed above. Ha'ish Yisrael tzarich lishtokek lo lirtzot b'vad. Every Jew, every Israelite, he also uses this term Ish Yisrael, a person, a human being of Israel, has to have passion, has to have tshuka, not just desire, not just wanting. V'im eino nasar nimsar kulo b'tshuka la'Hashem, yichola kol ta'ava bazui l'chol al nafsho l'tzodada v'limshacha el'chad haborot chas v'shalom. And if he does not, if he is not given over into the hands of this primary desire of being close to God, then it's possible for every kind of disgraceful desire to attach itself, to be relevant to his soul, and to entrap it, and to draw it into one of the holes, really to be trapped in this pit. There's a sense of the danger and productivity of desire, and the key is not to give up desire, but to give oneself over to that primary desire, which is the desire for closeness, for awakening, for connection, for experience of the divine. Uvemet ha-tshuka shel Yisrael, lo levad ratzon litkarev, hi rak ha-tshuka ba'atzma hitkarvuti. And he says that actually in truth, this passion, this tshuka of each Israelite, is not simply the will or desire to become close to God. Right? It's not just that this passion is a desire to be close to God. Really, this passion itself is closeness to God. Here, there's not simply a process which aims at some goal, but the process itself becomes the goal. We connect in these moments of yearning to God because God is present in that yearning itself. For as he says, "Ki belo shum siba hu mishtokek," because he just has this deep passion without any reason, there's no particular reason for it. V'kol kach lam, and why is this the case? Why does he have this passion? Because as God said, I will dwell in your midst. In every Israelite, every one of Israel, God dwells. God dwells in every one of us. And the portion of divinity, which is within you, which is within each one of us, desires to ascend and to come close to its source. V'tamid hu mishtokek, rak anu eina margishim tamid. And there's this constant passion, this divine portion of us is actually always passionately desiring, yearning to return to the divine, to reconnect with its divine source. It's just that we don't feel it always. We're not aware of it. Hainu k'sha ish rachok minafsho v'nishmato mibnei shetmuna hi tachat tel ha'ashpa v'shutei ha'olam. Asher b'kirbo eino margish as et shukat chelek ha'elokut shabo. Because we are distant from our soul and from our nature, from these two aspects of our soul, which is a very interesting claim here. Our soul, our deep nature, is actually constantly yearning to be with God, and actually in some sense constantly already in connection with God, for that yearning is the very connection. But we somehow, through this sense of self, through the operations of our minds and hearts and other things in our lives, have actually distanced ourselves from our own nature, from our own self, from our souls. And this is so because we are buried under a mound of garbage. It's a wonderful imagery. We've buried ourselves under a mound of garbage. So it's not that we haven't actually damaged our essential nature in any way. In fact, we cannot damage our essential nature in any way. But we can bury ourselves and therefore hide our essential nature from ourselves and from the foolishness of the world, which is within us. And so we don't feel this desire, we don't feel this yearning, we don't feel this tshuka of this the divine portion within us. We don't feel it, though it's operating all the time.
Ukshemagbir et nafsho, umasir et amachatzelet shalchini, margishu e'az et tshukato.
But when he strengthens, he overcomes with his soul, and he removes the reed mat, which is covering us, this block between us and God, then all of a sudden he experiences this yearning desire. But this all refers to this aspect of passion, right, of this deep desire of tshuka, and not to the aspect of ratzon. But even in the case of just desire, of wanting, not every wanting is the same. Because you can't really have a desire, even a wanting, if you have not felt before this a passion. The real wanting comes from some previous experience of passion. That is this passion where a person feels a sense of arousal, of ecstasy, of being inflamed with passion and desire until he himself is annihilated. It's an interesting connection here between genuine passion and actually loss of self. We might think that desire and passion is all caught up with our sense of self, our ego, I want this, I want that. But here the claim is that our deepest desires, our deepest passions, because they are in some sense inherently true, they are the ritzona amiti, they transcend the sense of self. This desire to be close to God is actually not a desire of self. It's not a selfish desire. A desire to connect to our genuine nature, a desire of compassion, of openness, and of love. Ima'at v'imharbein. It doesn't matter if it's a little bit or a lot. That is sometimes, okay, you have a desire. It's not like you've annihilated yourself. You haven't achieved mystic self-annihilation. But there's some way in which you've let go a little bit of the ego and you've opened up a little more to this experience of connection. Ha'kol kefi chozek tshukato. It's all according to the strength of this passion. Until it's impossible for him to forget it completely. That is, you have these deep moments of connection. Deep moments of connection, of passion. And the goal is that if we can deepen these moments and really be present in these moments, then these moments, although they pass the moment itself, the experience of it, the taste of it, the memory of it does not leave us. And it continues to be a kind of guiding force, a north star in our life, that memory of that taste, of that experience. And also desire, just the wanting, is also a kind of wanting, but it's just not with the same level of emotionality and ecstasy. Rak rotze, he just wants it. V'yichol gam nishkoch mimenu. And it's also possible that he'll forget it, because he doesn't feel this ecstatic feeling inside of him, which does not let him forget. But he says, even with this ratzon, there's two kinds of qualities. It's just normal desire. Haratzon amiti gam ke mina tshukaba, because the genuine desire, even when it's a more moderate desire, even when it hasn't taken over us completely, gam ke mina tshukaba, it also comes actually from tshukaba. It comes from this memory and experience of this taste of opening. And we can all, I imagine, connect to this in some way. There's some deep experience we've had of opening to what's really important to us in life, of connection to love, to Torah, to connection with other people, to our children, to our partners, to the passion we have for our work and our path in life. And we had some moments of profound opening to that passion. And of course, day to day, moment to moment, it doesn't always feel like that. It doesn't always feel like that. But we can recall and bring to mind the deep passion which is still underneath and which motivates every smaller desire and decision, hopefully, that we make. And he says, V'harei zekamo mishaya lo simcha, v'sameach v'rakai b'hargashat ha-simcha b'foal. It's like somebody who had some joy. And in this joy, he was joyful and he danced with this experience of joy, right? It's active joy. V'azgam achar avor asimcha ezo shvot, or yomim acharim, sameach adayim. And even after the joy, this ecstatic joy had passed, maybe a few weeks, maybe some days, still he still felt in some ways that joy inside him. Lo sheyesh la simcha b'for k'mo az. It's not that he was ecstatically joyful that like he was before. Rak asimcha shebekoach shemeaz mashpia simcha gam acharei. That is the ecstatic joy which was active at that point, which was realized at that point, influenced or caused to be a lighter joy, a more subtler joy which remained after it. Varei ze kamo im or becheder achad. It's like if there's light in one room. Gam becheder sheni paga choshech ad sheino meir kokach kamo becheder haachad. Mivnei sheein etzem or omed velo magia shama. In the next room, in the nearby room, it's true. And it doesn't get rid of the darkness. Right? Because it doesn't light up as much because the light's in the other room. But that light still reaches into that room. It still reaches into that room, into the darkness there, and provides some light. And this experience of ecstasy and opening, which one might have, then still brings illumination into our places of darkness, our places which seem to be empty of joy. And so our task here is actually, can we reconnect to those moments of joy in our lives? Can we recall just for a moment a time when we deeply experienced the openness of joy, when we deeply experienced the openness of connection? And from that place of memory and recollection and the taste of that joy in our mouth and in our minds and in our hearts, there's a place in which we can bring illumination and light, even to places which feel dark and lost in our current situation. And this, he claims later, is also what happens to us when we really take in our inheritance from our forefathers, from our ancestors. The exaltedness that they experience, the awakening they experience, the hitro mamut, and this deep desire actually helps illuminate even us in our current state if we connect to those sources. And he says, he concludes, he says, this actually was the state of Yaakov. This is why Yaakov sent out messengers and was able to meet Esav and split his camp to two camps. He was able to meet Esav because even though he was in a place of fear and darkness, he could remember these powerful experiences he had had, like the experience of his dream and his encounter with the angel or with God or with himself, the wrestling, or the movement of the angels up and down the ladder, these moments of peak experience and openness and ecstasy and joy. And even though he came into a place of fear and conflict and doubt in his encounter with Esav, he was able to come into that encounter in a place of confidence and wholeness because he had this experience of connection to recall, this experience of connection to integrate into his life. And so that, the Pesetzner says, is in some ways the lesson of Yaakov for us. Can we find in our lives some deep desire, some deep place, which helps us orient the goal and path of our lives? And from that place of orientation, from that place of true knowledge about where it is that we want to go, and that from that place of experiencing the sweetness and openness of the times when we've opened to that true knowledge, experiences of true presence and love. From those places, we don't have to be swept away by the winds of change and the different vagaries of our life. Where there's a place in which we can be more focused, more able to pursue our genuine spiritual desire of closeness to God. And in particular, there's a way in which that even when we feel lost or hopeless or sad or are caught in some ways in darkness, the memory of our deepest desire of where we really want to be and what we really want to see and who we really want to be can be used as a place of joy and openness to return us to our path.
Thank you, Rabbi Jacobson Mizels. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.